Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 10th, 2013, 9:40 a.m. We are in Function Room 6 of the International Beijing Hotel. This is the At-Large Technology Task Force meeting. Please go ahead and start.
Thank you very much, and good morning, and to those remote participants, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Devanand Tilaksingh. I'm the chair of the Technology Task Force. The Technology Task Force is a standing at-large working group. The intent here is for this working group is to assist the at-large with technology-related issues in terms of how at-large uses technology to better work together and collaborate together. We have monthly meetings, and on this meeting in Beijing, we'll be looking at the at-large wiki, which is probably one of the fundamental tools by which at-large collaborates together. Without it, we'll be unable to do our work. So on this, on the agenda will be that we'll first do a brief review of the at-large web and the wiki pages, and then next there'll be an open discussion with Chris Gift. He's the VP from ICANN, from Online Community Services. And then I'll go into some basic wiki training, or I should say more like wiki tips, I should say, because I don't think we could really cover everything in 1 hour. So with that, I've shared my screen, so staff can tell me if there anybody raising their hands and so forth, since I can't really, I'll see it. Okay, so, let's just start off with the at-large wiki that, since we are in Beijing, we are appropriately on the Asian, Australasian, Pacific Islands Regional At-Large Organization, or APRALO. So, let me bring this closer. Certainly. Well, let me show you how. The way to do that is by going to apralo.org. I'll tell you what. Let me just go through my presentation and see how it's organized, and then I'll open the floor for questions. So when you go to the APRALO's website and the wiki, you can see that the wiki has on the right side content talking about what is APRALO, some basic information, and if you scroll further down, announcements about all the activities happening in APRALO, the list of APRALO ALSs, links to the regional leaders, and so forth. The left-hand side of the screen, and I'm just hover over it, this one right here, shows the menu of all the various pages that's on this website. And from here, you can navigate the entire tree of wiki pages. So, this is one. Now everybody can view this website. It's indexable by search engines, so this is going to be the landing page for your RALO. So the real benefits happen when you are as an ALS member. All the ALS's representatives have wiki accounts, and from that they can do certain things such as add comments and also add pages. So to do this, you go to the login screen, and this is in the upper right here. Okay, there's a little delay here. So when you click on login, you're taken to a login screen. And I'm logging in as my name. And once that's done, you should now see your name in this upper corner, and then more options for what you can then manipulate the web page. Now, a wiki, I should have started off by saying, what is a wiki? A wiki is essentially allows multiple persons to add content to web pages, and they can add web pages, they can upload attachments, and so forth. And by allowing multiple persons to edit the web page, it eliminates the need for having just talking to one person and say, hey, please upload this document, or please add a meeting item. It empowers all at-large structure representatives to, well, add pages, add content, and so forth. And as we go along, we'll probably see that, well, that this is the great beauty of a wiki, is that anybody can edit and add content. The downside is, of course, is that everybody can add and move content around. So, but before that, but to continue, once you've logged in, you can do several things here. The key thing might be to simply add, and you can add a comment to you can add a comment to a page. And the idea behind this is that if there's a policy that's out for comment or anything of that sort, you can add a comment and saying this is great. Not very profound, but it is true. So you just, and when you, and when you're adding a comment, you could see that you have the various controls on the top here that talks about how to, like if you want to make text bold and so forth. And it's very, if you used any word processor, this is very standard. So once you've done this, you can then click save, and the comment is registered. So that's one. That's one key thing. The other key thing would be to actually add pages and so forth. Now for that, I think I will have to switch to another. I have to switch to Lacrawler's website. I'm from Latin America and the Caribbean, and because I'm not from AP Rallo, I don't have the edit permissions to add content and so forth. So I'm just going to just go to Lacrawler's website. I see Glenn is in the queue there, and let me just finish this, and I'll let Glenn have the floor. So when you go to add a page, let me just do this quickly. I can now give the page a title, and the internet is coming. It's coming. Okay, good. Okay, and then what you can do is you can add a page a title. This is a test, and again, you see this, the controls. You know, you can choose this styles, add links, add a table, bold text, and so forth. And so when you can also do things like insert links, like, okay, www.icann.org, and it automatically makes it a clickable link. And the neat thing about with a wiki is that you can easily add links to other wiki pages quite easily. You can go to the same link here on top, but the quicker way is, if the page already exists, is to press the open square bracket. And what this will do is that it will open up link suggestions. So because I've been logging in and I've been looking at these pages, it knows that I've been looking at these pages, and therefore I'm likely to link to these pages. So I can link to the Technology Task Force work page, meetings page, and that's it. So, and that's how, and then you could save the page for okay. Righto. So just trying to save this here. So now that I've gone through the basics of this, Glenn, I don't know if you're able to speak through the audio, but you can go ahead and ask a question. Does he have audio? Okay. Well, Glenn is typing a question. While Glenn is typing the questions, everybody is familiar with this? Okay, so far. Great. No, I'm not seeing it, really. I'm sorry. What is it? Could you read it for me, Matt?
Hi, this is Matt Asciani. We have an online question from Glenn McKnight. Glenn asks two questions. The first is, when you can add a social media clip into the wiki so it can handle non-text, I think he said, can we add a media clip into the wiki?
Okay, thank you, Glenn. Indeed, this is David Antelakin speaking. Yes, you can. You can do so. The way to do to add links to the wiki that are linking to audio and visual content is to what you have to do is go to insert, and what you do, you insert something called a macro. And if you look at it, you go to insert, other macros, and what you can do is search for let's say YouTube. And you see something called a widget connector. The widget connector allows you to embed YouTube videos, Flickr, Google Docs, and other stuff. Unfortunately, I don't have any content specifically to add, but this is the steps you take to add your YouTube video or anything of that sort. So I hope that answers the question, Glenn. And then when you save it, everybody can open the Flickr stream, YouTube video, Google Doc, whatever it is. So hope that answers that question. Cancel. Okay. So I've done the general basics here, and I guess for those persons who have already been using, involved in APRawler for in at large, you've already have the ideas, but for those beginners, that's the key basics of using the wiki. So to talk about a little bit about how the wiki pages are organized, let me just go back to the APRawler's website. And the quickest way to really see how the content is organized on the website is if you look on the At Large tab, there's a little drop-down box. And let me just open this up. I hope people are able to see this, but of course you can do this on your screens as well. Generally, Confluence, the wiki software uses concept of spaces. The idea being that you group related content together in sections. And there are three key sections. One is ELAC, one is at-large workspaces, and one is the regional at-large organizations. The regional at-large organizations are the five regions, so that's fairly straightforward. At-large workspaces are, and the term, and I think the terminology is also sometimes a little bit confusing. Workspaces are essentially the work that a working group that will generate. That's probably the simplest way I could describe it. So it's not really the working group as such. It's really the content that a working group is creating depending on what the working group goals are. So if you look at some of the workspaces here, there's an accountability and transparency review team workspace, the new GTLD review group, which was used very recently to track the objection process, and so forth. But the real key one is the ALAC, and the ALAC has three key spaces. The ALAC space, the ALAC Executive Committee, and the ALAC At-Large Policy Development. So it's under these three links is where most of the at-large activity and ALAC activity. So let's see. All right, can we do this in 3 minutes? So under the ALAC page, and I'm going to click into that, you would see all of the at-large advisory committee pages. And I think one of the key things some people ask is, where exactly are these amazing working groups that... And I have to admit, this is probably not as intuitive as it could be. And towards the end, I'll probably go to look at next steps as to how to, this can be found. But actually, I shouldn't say that, because I think the action item was completed. If you look in the upper left corner, you see a gateway, and you see several key links. And on the bottom there is the at-large link to the at-large working groups. And I believe it's on the AP Rallo's website as well. So when you click onto that, you will then take you to the standing at-large working groups. And there's like 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12, about 12, 13 standing working groups. And about ad hoc working groups, which are groups created to deal with a specific task. So it has a very limited mandate and limited scope. It's here to do one particular thing, and then when it's finished, then it's going to stop, and the working group will end. So that's one of the at-large working groups. And then the next thing would be the at-large policy development. And so again, it's all here in this gateway link. So when you click on that, that should take you to the at-large policy development site. And yes, it's still scrolling. It's a very large page. And I'll take you through the table of all the open statements. And Matt and at-large staff has really done a lot of work in maintaining this. So you could see the statement name, a person that's been assigned to look at the statement. You can then click onto the statement and see. Too late. I went to the FY14 community travel. So when you click onto that, you can then see breakdowns of how the comment periods, the time we have left to comment on it, and then the draft version of the statement that the pen holder has created. And then you can comment on this, as any at-large structure can comment on it or ask questions. But the key thing is to really do it in a timely manner, because there's a deadline for public comments, and you've got to be able to get your input, so that if nobody really says anything, objects, then it's assumed that there's no agreement, no consensus, and then the ALAC formally takes a vote on that statement. And then if passed, which usually is, then it's sent to the board or to the particular organization for which to direct it at the particular organization to which the public comment was directed to. So I think I've now covered the review of the web and wiki pages in a hopefully succinct manner, and hopefully persons aren't lost. I think I'll open the floor to any quick questions. Any? Eduardo Diaz.
This is Eduardo Diaz for the record. I still do not understand the difference between a workspace, which is a working group, and the working group area. I get all confused with that still. If you can clarify, thank you.
Certainly. Thank you, Eduardo Devanantilatin speaking again. And indeed, it is a little confusing at first. The best way I could describe it is that at-large working groups create the work of the working groups put into the workspace. So, for example, I'm just using from my experience, the GTLD review group, that's a working group, but the dashboard and all of that content where all the statements were tracked and comments and so forth, that's put into a workspace. So the workspace is, captures the work by a working group. I don't know if staff wants to add, or well, most of them are off, but that's the key difference. Follow up?
So go ahead, Eduardo. So can I say every working group should have a workspace then? Because every working group produces documents, products, everything, but I don't see that. And I get all confused, man, all confused.
Dave speaking again. Thanks, Eduardo. And I agree. It does sound that intuitively that, yes, all standing working groups should have at least workspaces. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think most of them do. I think what happens, though, is that some working groups aren't really have a workspace to generate documentation or anything of that sort. They are, for example, the IDN working group, as an example, they are more looking at any public comments that deal with IDN-related issues or looking at all the issues related to IDNs. And I should say IDNs are international domain names. So it's not really generating content as such, in a sense that it's not generating content for other members of at-large to look at or to review. It's only responding, if we respond to a public comment or draft a statement for the ALAC to then consider. So in that sense, it doesn't really have a workspace as such. So hopefully this now gives you a better idea what it is. So workspaces are like, if there's content, so for example, the rules of procedure is another good example, because that required all the relos to look, all the at-large, all the five relos, all the ALAC to look and work together to come up with something, to produce something.
That's when I started to get confused, because the ROP, the Rule of Procedures work group, generated a lot of work, and it was not in the workspace. Suggestion, if we're going to start using the workspaces, I think, and I will recommend that, you know, this group, this working group, put some kind of document that explains, you know, if you're starting a working group, you should do ABC, you create a workspace, and do this, because there's, it was really hard to follow. Thank you.
Thanks, Eduardo. And indeed, I think what happens also is that there's every now and then, and again, this comes up to the blessing and the curse of wikis, because everybody is able to edit the content, the working group chairs may act inadvertently not be following how it probably, the template of how it really should be. And then you lead to these type of inconsistencies. And of course, the reality of it is that the workload of it is that, you know, we've got to get this done, get the content done, collaborate, and then there's no time to go back and fix it after, right? Because there's always something else afterwards. So that's always the challenge. Any other questions? Yovi, go ahead.
Yovi speaking. My question is to know who are the people having accounts here. Can any at-large member also have an account on this space?
Well, I can answer that. This is Dave speaking. If there's like other members on your at-large structure that wish to contribute or add content, I believe it's once you let the APVALO chair, secretariat, or vice chair, they will let the staff know, and the staff will then create the accounts and then inform the person that the account has been created. So generally there's an upper limit in the terms of number of accounts that could be created, but I don't think that's not an issue at this point. So if there are members that are interested in contributing and adding content, commenting on policies or whatever, it should not be a problem. I don't know if staff wants to add anything to that.
Hi, this is Matt Ascioni for the record. It's quite easy to create an account. I actually do it myself now. I don't even send it to IT.
Yeah, a follow-up question. I just want to be sure that all the members, they have an account and they are using it, because it is a tool, but I want to be sure that all the members, the LS structure, everybody has an account and is using the account.
Hi, this is Matt for the record. When a new ALS is accredited, that's one of the steps that I do. In addition to adding them to the email chains, I also create a wiki account for them and send it to them. So if someone says they don't have an account, the odds are that they do and they just don't know it. They missed that email, they didn't see it. And if you know anyone who thinks that they don't have an account, please tell them to see me and I'll make sure that they have one within 20 minutes.
Thank you, Dave Nan speaking. Glenn McKnight.
I was watching the moderator comments from that Glenn McKnight over there. It must be a Confederate. My experience of doing wikis has been a mixed experience. The first one we did extensively with IEEE, we did a humanitarian technology challenge, and we had engineers, and we really thought it would be a piece of cake. Engineers would take this on and really use it effectively, and they spent a lot of money with the UN Foundation as well, and we found that it didn't work. We found that a few people got involved, but they kept on relying back on the traditional email. I think we're going to have the same challenge with this. I think a lot of people just don't see the value of it. And I recommend it. If you scroll back, Matt, to my previous comment, I added a link to a really good introduction to what a wiki is. That's previous to that. That's just a YouTube of our party last night, where I saw Olivier falling down drunk. Wikis in plain English. This is an example of a very good illustration, very simple, on why wikis really work. People have to wrap their brains around it. This is a very effective tool. It's not complicated, but we use it extensively in our own foundation, and we get a lot of people excited. And we find that it doesn't matter how much personal effort we make, unless we take an effort to encourage people and help them and hold their hand a little bit, we're not going to get the results that we expect. So I'm a big advocate for this. I just, from personal experience doing PBWorks and Google Docs and a lot of wikis, I just find that there's a few people that will be really get into it, but the vast majority just don't get it. Okay.
Thanks, Glenn. This is Dave speaking. I guess that's the same of, I think, any group, but I take your point. I think one of the steps, and I think we looked at some of the online educational portal that Matthew Shares had talked about, and perhaps what Chris is about to want to talk about, elements of this can be used to create like short and for the capacity building as well. The capacity building working group has to work on building capacity within the at-large structures. So, and I think what's really needed is that at times is that we need to now build our skill set training, so to speak. So how to use the wiki. So I think ideally what needs to happen would be to create like short content, maybe a YouTube video. Here's how I went through the basic stuff here. Start with that and then just have graduated lessons.
If I can follow up on that.
Go ahead, Glenn.
Please. I think what you have to have is some kind of teaser or some kind of incentive, whether it's free pictures or something, not to say any nude pictures of UDev or anything like that, something that will drive them to the wiki that they get value added. There's some incentive there, and I'm not sure how to do that because human nature way it is and people are busy, I can understand it, but we got to have a strategy to drive people to it or they'll default to the same old, same old. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Heidi.
Thank you, Jeff. This is Heidi for the record. Matt is going to show everyone, if internet allowing it. So again, what we call the ALAC portal, again, when you click on that, when you come into the dashboard, you'll see on the left-hand side, I think, Dev, you mentioned it. It's okay, Matt, if you can go just to the at-large portal. So you go into the at-large. Just show them how to get there, not in your secret way. Just go. Okay, go. So again, this is what you see when you come on. Okay, this is what you see when you come on. So you go to the left, you'll see that ALAC up on top. That's what we call the ALAC portal. That's the landing page. That's really the first page that you're supposed to see when you come on. Click on that, Matt. Okay, so this is not the secret way. This is what, when this was designed, how it was meant to, you come on to this, and you can get to everywhere using this way. So again, Dave mentioned, Matt, go up to the gateway. That gateway is meant for links, quick links to get to. So you have the executive committee, you have got the policy development page. Write down that second box. If you click on, that's the training guide. That's the toolbox. That's the, if you click on that link, there's a training guide in all six UN languages that goes step by step, okay, using examples from the at-large wiki, how to use the wiki, where we place items. So if you haven't looked at that, I encourage you to do that. All new ALS representatives are sent that link in the ALS starter kit. Okay, and we can also send the PDF version to anyone who would like to have that. But I very much encourage you to use that as a first step. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. Okay, I'm not seeing any other further questions for that. And indeed, the link, I think, well, Matt, yes, Matt is indeed putting that link into the Wiki training guide, and that has the more in-depth summary of all how to use the Wiki. But I think now, that it's not seeing anybody else raising their hands, I think we'll now go to the second agenda item. Chris Gift is the VP of Online Community Services at ICANN, and he's here to discuss our SHPOP's show about what ICANN has in store. So, Chris, you have the floor.
This is Chris Gift with ICANN staff. First off, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Thank you very much for having me here. I'm not going to show anything. I have no slides. I have a few notes, and I have some ideas about what I would like to talk about, and hopefully those will agree with you. I really wanted to cover a few things. I wanted to first introduce myself and this team and this department and why we were created. I then want to talk about how we are going to move forward, what it is that we're tasked with doing, and how we're going to go ahead and do that. And then, thirdly, I'd like to have a discussion with you and answer any questions and hear from you about your priorities and what it is that you need to get your work done. So I'll start with the first one. When Fadi came on board in October, he was actually actively engaged even before then, as most of you know, and after Prague. One of the things he looked around and he saw immediately was that a lot of the tools and services that people were using were not connected. They were very separated. They had the user experience was very disjointed. You know, people would have to navigate to one place to do something and another website to do something else. It's difficult to find information and to understand how to participate online. And so one of his first things he did, he did a lot right up front, but was to create this new team. He felt that there was no one individual at ICANN who was very focused on this idea of making holistic, unified user experience for our ICANN members and the ICANN community, and ensuring that they had the tools that they need. You know, Heidi and Matt and others were ensuring we're taking care of you, but there's nobody looking, you know, across the organization. So he created this team, the Online Community Services, and I was hired to come in and lead it and start working in this area. So for the past few months, I must confess I have been doing two things. I have been we've been looking at a strategy. So how do we do this rather than department? How do we create an engagement strategy, a digital strategy for ICANN as a whole? And that can fit within each group, you know, that's flexible enough to fit within each group. Because, you know, we do have limited budget and limited resources. So how do we spend those wisely across the organization? And secondly, I apologize, but I've also been very focused on operational activities around the new GTLD and getting some things up and running for that group so that they can support the applicants and the new GTLDs when they go live. I'm glad to say that activity is slowing down. It was very intense, but for me personally, it's slowing down, and I am pivoting and looking outwards going forward from this summer on. So I'll be spending a lot more time on issues that are important to you and important to this group. So that's a brief introduction about our role. One last thing. What are we responsible for? Well, basically anything that's online, right? Pretty much. You know, we're responsible for creating new services. And by new services, I mean collaboration tools. So like the wiki, you have the wiki. Well, are there other tools that are necessary or required for you to do your work? Also, how do we do, is translation necessary to do that work? Do the tools need to be in multiple languages? Are there other services around, you know, customer support, or basically anything that touches you online is something that I will work on with other people within ICANN, right? I will work with Heidi and Matt, obviously, when it comes to at large, and then I'll work with other groups and the ICANN support staff that support those other groups. I'll work with them as well. So it's a very broad remit. And at the end, I'll talk a little bit about how I'm structuring to meet that, since there's obviously there's a lot of need, I think. So that's sort of, that covers what it is that I do. If there are any questions at any time, please, I'd like to make this as much a discussion as possible. You know, we're halfway through the week, right? And if I'm just sitting here talking at you the whole time, it can get a bit dry. So at any time, please interrupt and questions and have a dialogue. By all means.
Go ahead, Eduardo.
This is Eduardo, the F40 record. I have a question. In my ICANN.org, is it possible, like yesterday we have a big discussion about a mailing lists, yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. And people are, they don't know what mailing lists are, they are subscribe, or you know, or if they want to select this or that one. And I have seen other websites where you can actually select which one you want to, you know, like lists of all the mailing lists, and you select which one you want to subscribe to. And I'm wondering if in myicanN.org you, something like that can be added to it, so you say, well, I mean, I like, and then I'm subscribed to this mailing list, and this one, and this one, and this one. I'm just curious.
Thanks, Chris, you want to respond, and I have a follow-up question to that.
Yes, Chris Gift. So do you mean so automatic subscriptions then is what you're referring to? As soon as I'm identified as a member of ALAC, I automatically get this list, and then I can...
And this is Eduardo again, and I select which one I want to subscribe. Like, for example, every time there is a working group, there is a mailing list that is created. So, you know, you just want to make sure that you are in there, or if you don't want to receive anything from that list, then you subscribe your way out. But if you want to get in back in, then you just put a click and you get, somehow you get back in.
Yeah, this is Chris Gift. Yes. Well, my ICANN, I think if you log in and you create an account, you can certainly select of what's there, right? And that is a pre-selected list for you already. I mean, that is curated content already. Yeah, we could look at having a place where there's a centralized list of subscriptions, and then you could pick from them. Most of the websites and the most of our web assets are RSS enabled. You know, if any of you are familiar with RSS technology, that is a technology that which you can subscribe. And then it will push to you any change that occurs within that website or within that working group or whatever. So, you know, Dev, that might be something you may want to have some training on, because RSS is very powerful. I mean, it is a way for people to subscribe and have the information pushed to them. You use it?
Yeah, this is the, well, yeah, I use it for the ALAC wiki pages. I receive almost any changes.
Okay, well, thanks, Stephen Antelaxing speaking. Actually, that I think that brings up it's a good thing you mentioned RSS, actually, and I think actually one more powerful way will be to also enable the mailing list to also be RSS enabled, so that that becomes an RSS feed. Because typically what happens, and you see, and Eduardo brought it up, when there's a working group or in at large, you have to be subscribed to the working group to really receive the messages. Now, it's true that the mailing list archives are typically public, but you know, you have to make a mental note to actually 3, 4, 5 clicks to see the archives, and then click on each one and so forth. Now, And I think this is also, I think, a bigger issue for the GNS, for if we wanted to track activity in the GNSO. The GNSO is a generic name supporting organization, and they're responsible for developing ICANN policy as per the bottom-up process. Now, there are a lot of GNSO working groups, and some of them have at-large members involved on them. The thing is that you can't really track the activity very easily because you can't really even join the mailing list. You could join the mailing list, but that's also a not optimal solution because when you join a mailing list, you are joining the group and you're perceived to be having certain responsibilities towards the working group and producing work and contributing, not just observing. So I think some form of having the mailing lists of those mailing lists at large, and probably the GNSO, I'm very sure. If those were enabled in RSS, you could just simply just follow. And just look and just read what's happening, and then maybe you see something and say, oh, and then you may, hey, I want to join this working group because, this is impacting me in a big way. I see some interest here relevant to the end user community and so forth. So just your thoughts on that. Winthrop, sorry, go ahead.
This is Winthrop for the record. If I had one wish for the messaging, my wish would be that it would be more visual. Okay, we're talking about mailing lists and RSS feeds. But at the same time, I'm worried about you're reaching, for example, the ALSs and their officers. But I would have a problem, extending the message out, pushing it out, not just to the end users, even to the members within my own ALS. As an example, I'm here in Beijing now. I would like to tell my members at least, this is what's going on. These are the working groups. These are the things you can get involved in. These are the things that I can do. These are the top issues. It's very difficult for me to do so. I've only made one post on Facebook regarding this event, and it came from Circle D because there was nothing visual put out by ICANN. And if you put a link to a page that's simply a bold-faced title, well, quite frankly, it looks very ugly on a Facebook page. And these social networks are very big in my part of the world. The Philippines and Indonesia are major populations on Facebook. So in order to reach not only the end user, but even the people within my own ALS, our own members, how am I going to tell them about, for example, the ITN variants? How am I going to tell them about all the other working groups? If I send them a list, a link to an ICANN page, it's very, very dry. The minute they land there, they'll leave. What I would like to see is if there's an issue, for example, any the new GTLDs, it goes first to like a summary page, a teaser. This is what new GTLDs are about. Something very visual, appealing, and something that catches their interest right away. Then you can have links to more detailed stuff about the issue and policy. But again, generally, overall, what I really want is something more visual, something I can spread around on the social networks.
Sure. Okay, thanks, Winthrop. Actually, very, very interesting comment. I can see that as well. And I noticed that when I shared things on social networks, you tend to get the image that comes is usually a very, sometimes not even related to what you're trying to post. And I agree with you. So, but Chris, you probably want to. So go ahead, Chris.
Thank you very much. This is Chris Gift. Yes, thank you for your comment, and thank you for bringing us back up, I think, a few levels. We were certainly diving down into the technology and the because I really want to stay up at a higher level. And yes, I absolutely agree with everything you just said. In that, it's an issue that preoccupies us as well. In that we see, people can come to ICANN.org or come to some of our web assets or websites, and immediately they may look, they may say, I have some interest because they read an article somewhere. I have some interest in internet governance or DNS governance, and I want to learn more about it. And we do a great job of really turning them off. Right? They come there and it's confusing. It's difficult for them to grapple because there's nothing in between. You know, there's some information about who we are and what we're doing. And I was having this conversation with some of you last night. But it's very, very difficult for them to go from that to engagement, right? You know, and to active participation in the working groups. There's a steep learning curve, and we have very little information for them to help them bridge that gap. There are very little tools. And it's not just training, although I think the online training platform we were talking about that Matthew Scheer talked about, I think is a very big component of this and will help greatly. But it's more than that. You know, a lot of times people don't necessarily want to dive in right away. So the future that we are sort of imagining, and let me just paint a little picture for you, if I may, is where this is what happens with somebody going forward. You know, you share something on Facebook, and it catches somebody's attention to say, you know, this is interesting to me. They then navigate to ICANN.org or to, you know, ALAC site. And there, the information is not too dense. You know, it is visual. It is engaging. It is somewhere where they can participate lightly without fear that they don't have all the knowledge necessary to participate. They don't have the lingo, but there are other people like them already there doing the same thing. And they may, you know, they may be able to share in a forum. There may be an open space where you can share all types of information, whether it's text, pictures, videos about a particular topic. And they may live there for a month, 2 months. And they may then look and see, oh, there's some online learning about a particular topic which has gotten my attention, so I may take a class. And then after a couple of months of doing that, then they may feel comfortable to then dive into a working group and say, okay, you know, I've learned a little bit more. I now understand ICANN a little bit more. You know, it's not so intimidating for me to participate more deeply. And even when I joined that working group, I could look at that working group, and you can imagine something that sits there and says, okay, you know, it's nice. If you're going to join this group, you know, maybe you should take these three classes. And here are the links to these three classes. And, you know, maybe you should go read these 10 documents, and here's where it is. And here are the profiles of the people who are already members of this working group and some very rich profile information of them. So that's kind of the future that we're thinking about, and that's where we would like to get to. How we're going to get there, well, no, let me stop there. Any reactions to any of that?
Sorry, Divan Antilaksin, Oksana.
Thank you. Oksana Prikhodько, for the record, I would like to ask you about using of different languages. First of all, ICANN in different languages. Is it automatic translation, or is it edited by living persons, first of all? And the second, my question, is about your experience of moderation of online discussion in different language. Is it possible at all?
Chris?
Yeah, so this is Chris Gift. So very good questions. Language interpretation and translation are vital elements of engagement and inclusiveness and participation. So this has been an ongoing discussion again, as you might imagine at ICANN. There are several considerations. Obviously, how do we include everybody? And we really want to do that. We want to support multiple languages. Certainly the six that we, you know, that are the UN languages and therefore the six ICANN languages at the minimum. The question for us is an operational question, you know, a cost and so on. I can say that we did have a discussion late last night with Sally Costin, who is the leadership team member, the vice president of the global stakeholder engagement, who's responsible for that decision. And we did come to a decision about that, yes, we needed to support that. We needed to move forward in terms of supporting the six languages more fully, and that we're going to now work on a plan to say, okay, identify those areas, documents, websites, content that needed to be translated, and so prioritize that, and then budget for it. And then say, okay, you know, we're committing that this work will be translated. So what are the assets, what are the people, the resources we need to get that done, and then to budget for it. So we did come to an agreement and a decision about that. So that work is, I imagine, will start very soon. You know, as soon as we get back from Beijing, we'll start working on that. There have been plans in the past that ICANN around this area, so I think we can leverage that information to make it move more rapidly. I can say that there is the desire to move very rapidly on this front. You know, we don't want to come back and have this conversation with you again a year from now about, you know, are we going to be translating, and what are we going to be translating? No, we want to move forward very, very rapidly. I can't give you a date. I don't have one. But I can commit that we are doing that.
Thanks, Chris. David Ann speaking. Just to read a comment from Glenn McKnight into the record. Glenn says from the chat, I would like to suggest presenting to a communications university class and ask if ICANN's website, discussion threads, Facebook, etc., is meeting a good communication standard. I would be curious if graded, what grade would it get? And he says, and he follows up with a second comment, that I'm hearing again and again that it takes years for people to understand the ICANN ecosystem. This is a serious problem. And
this is Chris Gift. I'll definitely respond to that. So a grade, well, that's tough. I didn't build any of these, so I can be very harsh, you know. And I'll be very lenient when I come back again and I have built some of these tools. But the website is, look, I'll be quite frank, we all know this. ICANN.org itself is problematic. It's very difficult to navigate. Find information is extremely difficult. I understand that it is far better than the previous website, so that it is a good step in the right direction. I can say that I would give it, I don't know, I've seen worse, so I don't know if I could give it an F. But it's down there, right? I'd maybe give it a D. You know, if you're a D+, okay, D+. That's generous. Thank you. So if I was in a communications class, for those, a 9 or a 10 on 20 for those in the French system. So I can also say that we are looking at revamping the website. We are having an internal discussion about, you know, how do we do so? Do we do so iteratively to make it better, more informative for people, more accessible? Do we do it in a more rapid fashion, or do we evolve it? So we're having internal conflict. Actually, I'm having a conflict with Jimmy Leach, who is a consultant, a digital engagement strategy consultant for us. So we're having this discussion on an ongoing basis. Constructive conflict. What was the second part of the question, if I recall? It was a grade around our communications tools, our websites, and then...
Oksana, can you repeat the second? Sorry, I'm lost track of the train of thing. Sorry, I was reading the comment from Glenn on the website, on the AC chat. He said here, I'm hearing again and again that it takes years for people to understand the ICANN ecosystem. This is a serious problem.
Just Chris Gift again. Yeah, absolutely agreed. We all acknowledge that it takes years. There are lots of things we can do and are beginning. I think you're hearing some of that. The online learning platform is a beginning to short-circuit that, to make that faster, more rapid. We want to start talking in plain language, in plain English. We want to get away from acronyms. We had a vigorous discussion last night about this, about the need to eliminate acronyms as much as possible, or if we use them, to be very clear about them. You know, we write documents and we use acronyms from the very first sentence without identifying what they stand for. So, you know, there are editorial methods that we can use to, we want to promulgate around how do you effectively use use them when you need to. And then the second thing around this is translation. I think if we translate content for those non-English speaking people, or English is a second or even third or fourth language, it'll make it it'll make it easier for them to get on board and learn about ICANN. But lastly, ICANN is just difficult. You know, I don't know how much of that we'll be able to get around with just better content. You have to live it.
Thanks, Chris. Any other questions? Go ahead and identify yourselves.
Hi, I'm Imani from Niue, Pacific Islands. Just going back a little bit on some of this stuff, I'm new to the wiki as well. And I just had a look on yesterday, mostly for my ALS, and just helping out as well with some other ones that are here with me and newbies. It looks to me as if hardly anyone is using it, especially those who have been here before me for a very long time. And I know some of those people who actually use it, well, don't use it, but actually subscribe to the wiki itself. And probably from my perspective that I'm having to go on to it and try to subscribe to some of the things that I want to have updates or contents that any time something has been changed or someone is adding some documents or applying some stuff, perhaps as a suggestion that maybe the new members who are coming on and being subscribed automatically, they are forced to have these feeds being pushed to them, all the updates, so that they are forced to then go back and streamline and take off what they don't need. So perhaps just throw everything at them and then let them have to come back to, you know, streamline their stuff, but trying to say, let's have a teaser so that people could come on to. It doesn't seem to work from my perspective as a newbie. We already have things like, Google Plus, Facebook, and everything else. That the tools that we already have are sufficient enough, and now we're being asked to also do or learn this, you know, go on to the weekend, try to figure out. I mean, for me, it's easy enough, but for some of the people who I'm, people who are coming on, who might already be taken up with so many other things and might be less technical, it's a bit of a struggle to go on and do it. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Thanks. That interesting comment. Before I give it to Chris, I mean, my only concern with that subscribing them to everything, they may just be flooded with information. It's like, oh my God, what am I getting into? You know, so it's hard to come to a balance, I guess. But Chris, perhaps, and I think in a way that's what with the My ICANN concept came about. With, you know, because everybody was complaining about the deluge of information and they couldn't figure out how to track updates. Anyway, but Chris, if you want to say anything.
Thank you. This is Chris Gift. Very good comments and very interesting. I would very much like to talk offline about, you know, you say you have tools that work for you already and work for your community. Would love to understand better about what those are and how you're using them. Because I think, you know, while the wiki is effective, there are other things we can do. There are other tools we can roll out and other services. But I don't want to do yet another service, right? And then yet another place people have to go to check, to look at, to participate in. We don't want that either. It gets to be too much. I do want to talk about one thing, though, around this topic that seems to hover around, you know, participation and how few people go and look at it. You have to understand. There have been quite a few studies on this around communities, and the numbers roughly roll out to about 2% of a community actively participate on a daily basis or weekly basis and add content. 5% do so on an ad hoc basis, so occasional, you know, they participate every once in a while. 97% lurk, and by lurk, they read, you know, they don't say anything, they don't do anything, really. So that's, that, you know, every community is different, but those are the averages across the whole. So, and it's tough to move those numbers in any way. It's difficult. I mean, you can, some are far more active, right? But generally, there'll be those that sort of breakout. You know, not everybody will be 100% engaged, right? I mean, there'll be some sort of cheering like that. But that doesn't mean that the lurking is bad, right? Lurking is good for a lot of people. Lurking is how they move up the chain. You know, they can't actively participate right away. You know, they listen for 6 months or years, as Glenn was suggesting, you know, for somebody to get on board. So that silent majority that's there in the background is often a good thing.
Before God, let me just say, well, I know we're running a little over time here, and I know we have a hard stop at 11. So I think what I would do, and I also, so I wanted us to have the interpreters have a break before the next meeting. So I'll like to thank the interpreters for what you're doing, you know. Without you, you know, I can be less accessible. But while the interpreters have stopped, we can continue the meeting. So I see Garth, and then I see Glenn McKnight.
Thank you, Dev. Garth Bruin, Chair of Neurallo. I think the lurkers are most often there because they're looking for an answer to something. And I think that the community would work better if they could find that answer quicker and they could get results quicker. We need to turn the lurkers into participants as quickly as possible. And whether they're there for 6 months because they want to be there for 6 months doing nothing, or because that's how long it takes for them to get in, we should get them in sooner because they're important people and they want to be there. And we shouldn't let them sit on the wall. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Chris Gift. I agree. I mean, we should get them more involved. Any ideas that you guys may have on those lines, please come forward to me. This is what we're doing right now is, you know, trying to get ideas, actively listen to what you need, and then we will work on those.
Okay, thanks, Chris. And I'll read a question from Glenn McKnight. The question is... I think he had two comments. One was, and I think a comment was on the previous point, was that regarding acronyms, I think it's unprofessional for people to toss around these short forms, too many American idioms, etc. But the real question is, idioms, I-D-I-O-M-S, sorry. My throat is dry. But going to the real question here. Question, why are not more members of working groups providing monthly reports? We do a NOMCOM report every month. This is important to tell people what we are doing. Why isn't working group reports mandatory? Okay, well, let me answer that one. And I have to confess, Glenn, as chair of several working groups, I think it is difficult sometimes to write something about the working group because sometimes the pace of it was very, very difficult. Case in point was the review group, which had like 9 meetings within a month. And I'm seeing some persons on that working group shaking heads there. Yeah. And I think what has to happen is that it's difficult for the person to chair the meeting, try to grasp the minutes, and then to try to write a report. I think what has to happen, though, and I think at-large staff is doing this, is to send reminders to, you know, please fill out the working group reports. Going back again to the scheduling of stuff, perhaps this needs to be on a schedule, on a calendar to say, submit your working group reports on the calendar. So you just get that prompt to do it. And I don't think it's everybody just ignoring it. I think it's just, you know, the flow of things. You know, you're working on stuff. And, it doesn't have to be a large report. I agree what you're saying on your chat. Just one a few paragraphs, probably a link to the transcript. Now that transcripts are coming out a few days after after the call, so I, you know, you, it's a good suggestion.
Let's see. Any comments? Sure. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you. This is Chris Gift. I just want to end on a couple of comments. One is, I said we were going to be moving forward, and so we would like very much like your ideas. What I would just like to touch on is how we are going to do that, and I alluded I would talk about this at the very beginning. We're going to move forward very iteratively. So what we are not going to do is create a massive, big plan, that'll take 3 to 4 years to implement and then roll out some huge tool set all at once for people to start using. That's, in our view, a recipe for failure. What we want to do is just roll out little things, right? Little things that solve critical problems, but nonetheless are not, are fairly easy for us to get out, and then very rapidly iterate them. I can't guarantee that what we will do will always work. What I need to hear is, that was a good idea, but it didn't work. It failed. Or if you just tweak it a little bit, it would be more successful for us. So in this mode we're not going to roll a tool out, take 6-8 months to develop it, roll it out, and not revisit it for another year and a half. That's not how we're going to operate. We're going to operate, as Fadi had talked about, very agile. We're going to roll things out very incrementally and then continue to develop them. We're also going to be setting out methods for you to contact us more directly and to participate more directly into how these tools are created, into what the feature set and the capabilities are. Again, yes, we will do some working group activity. We'll certainly do that and hear from you directly. But we also want to hear from you more rapidly, right? So we want to say, okay, we just rolled out this tool yesterday. Start getting us feedback, right? Is it working for you? Is it not working for you? So we're going to have systems for you to do that, for us to have a very rich and responsive dialogue instead of just waiting from meeting to meeting to talk about these things. And lastly, I think the last thing is, transparency. We're going to be very, very transparent about what we're building and what's coming down the pike. Or what's coming down the road, and what it is that you've requested and what we've agreed to do because we think it's appropriate for ICANN as a whole, and when we're going to roll that out. So we'll be very, very clear about that and clear to you. I commit myself to doing that.
Thanks, Chris. And indeed, I think all of us here in at-large are looking forward to seeing some of these changes coming down and look forward to giving you feedback because as you've heard, and I'm sure when you've talked with other ACs and SOs, all of the ACs and SOs are facing the challenge of how do we get people to participate? How do we make our content more accessible and, bring what we do more accessible to the wider global public? So I thank you on that. Now we don't have that much more time. I think what I do want to do quickly is just show you one very quick tip regarding the wiki. There is the at-large wiki training guide, but there's probably one or two things that I probably could show you very quickly in 5 minutes. And one of the key things is how do you search the at-large wiki. We are generating lots and lots of content when you think about the ALAC, the working groups, the VELOs. Thanks again. And finding that content is a challenge. And part of it is because, again, the curses of the wiki being that because there are discrepancies in how content is organized, it is a challenge. There's a longer-term solution being planned for this. But in the interim, you can go to the search button on the upper right, and I'm going to go back. Matt, if you could just bring it back full screen to the AC room there, just to, thanks. Yeah. So, I switched to the Firefox here to show you a few things here. So there is an upper search in the upper right bar here, and you could move your mouse cursor to this point and search it. There is another shortcut way of doing this, however, and there are two shortcuts. One, you can press the forward slash, And when you press the forward slash, this is the forward slash is the one typically under the question mark. It will bring up the search on the upper right corner. So this is a quicker way of accessing the search bar. Okay, and then you could type your searches. Now, when you type your searches, it tries to autofill your what you're trying to say. Now, there is a large syntax of how you could search things. For example, if you want to search only in title, you would use the word title colon and then put the words you're looking for in quotes. However, you know, I don't want to delve into that, and I have to admit it's not as very intuitive. I think the best approach is what you're trying to look for. Start from the end of the words and move to the beginning. So instead of typing at large meeting reports or at large Neuralo events, all right, let's start with AP Rallo meeting and events. So instead of typing AP Rallo, because you're going to initially find a lot of content on it in the AP Rallo, you start with meetings and events and then narrow it down. So, for example, meetings and events, AP Rallo. And when you press enter or click enter, it should bring the first link there. You find the meetings and events one time. So that's probably the quickest way of doing things. And similarly, all of the wiki pages there's a rough template of how things are organized. So another example, for example, if you want to find out meeting and events, meetings, GTLD review group, and you see by doing that, you come much faster and quicker to your destination. And then you just click onto that, and it should bring you back to the review group meeting and events. So that's that's really the key tip. Instead of trying to type, you know, at large new GTLD, because you just want to wind up with a lot of information. So you start from you come in from reverse. Start with the word meeting of an events, and narrow it down to the working group you're trying to find. And that actually would make you find it quite easy to find things. And in fact, I should also mention is that you can also embed the search in your browser. For example, in Firefox here, you can if you click on the search engine, you could see add Confluence. So that means now you could add let me just click move this mouse back to it. And once I've added it, you can see now there's a Confluence search. And therefore, I can then do the searches here. So for example, IDN, let's see, Beijing IDN. And let's see, and then it would immediately search the at large wiki. And the benefit of this is that, yep, 5 minutes, we can wrap up. So the benefit of this is that you can then search without actually being on the wiki page itself. You could be looking at another web page and then quickly search how to find the website. So I think, are there any other questions or comments? Going once, going twice, going through. Oksana, go ahead.
Thank you. How to translate?
Thanks, Oksana. Okay, I could do that very quickly. Let me just go to the first link here, just quickly, just as a test. The at-large wiki has a translate button, and it's located immediately after the title of the web page. So if you look for the word translate, you click on that, and say if you want to translate this into simplified Chinese, for example, I'll just it will then translate it. You see? So, and it, now, obviously, this is a machine translation, but I think it's quite accessible, and at least it gives you a better chance of understanding the content. So I think we're running out of time, so I think we could now have to stop. And thanks everyone. Thanks to remote participation. So this call is now adjourned.